3 in 5 Americans wake up feeling lonely every single day. That's not just a statistic, it's a public health emergency. Researchers now compare to smoking 15 cigarettes daily. Here's the twist. We're more connected than ever before. We have hundreds of social media friends, group chats buzzing with notifications, and endless ways to reach people. Yet somehow, many of us couldn't name 5 people to call in a real crisis. This paradox hit home during a panic attack on a closet floor. The overwhelming thought that I am all alone, despite being constantly surrounded by people. The truth is, we've confused proximity with intimacy, mistaking digital interactions for genuine connection. We're living in what should be the most connected era in human history, yet we're dying from isolation. Something has gone terribly wrong with how we relate to each other, and fixing it requires understanding what we've lost and how to rebuild it. For most of human history, people lived communally, hunting, cooking, and raising children together. Ancient villages centered around 150 people, 50 acquaintances, 15 in your inner circle, maybe 5 close friends. This wasn't convenience, it was survival and sanity. In Italy today, grocery runs take hours because people actually talk about life. In Ugandan refugee camps, people facing unimaginable hardship instinctively huddled together rather than isolate. They understand what we've forgotten. Humans aren't built for solitary existence. Modern Western life looks starkly different. We hide in alarmed houses behind fences, guarding our vulnerability. We live alone, eat alone, and suffer alone. We've traded village life for independence, better jobs, and bigger houses. The cost? The very thing our souls crave most, belonging to something bigger than ourselves. Why does loneliness hurt so much? Because we were designed for relationship. God Himself exists in eternal relationship as Trinity, Father, Spirit, and Son, each glorifying the others in mutual love. When Scripture says we're made in God's image, it means we're fundamentally relational beings. Throughout the Bible, God builds communities, families that grow into people groups, nations, and churches. Most biblical you statements are plural, meant for communities living interconnected lives, not isolated individuals. For thousands of years, nearly every generation experienced village existence. But over the past 250 years, particularly in Western culture, our priorities shifted from we to me. While personal freedom has value, our independent spirit has a dark underbelly. We've convinced ourselves we can handle life alone, and we're suffocating because of it. After relocating to Dallas, crushing loneliness led to tears while driving past a senior living apartment. I'll have no friends to live there with someday. That moment sparked the 5 Friends in 5 Miles plan, a commitment to find 5 close friends within 5 miles. Reaching out to Michelle, a former camp counselor, set everything in motion. She invited us to her For Life small group at church, a community sharing everything from personal struggles to finances. Despite hesitation, saying yes changed everything. 4 years later, they became the closest friends imaginable. Connection requires stepping out repeatedly, even when awkward. Instead of occasional lunch dates while complaining about being too busy, invite someone to join your grocery run, evening walk, or kids' soccer game. Ask intentional questions. What are you longing for? What's making you anxious? When someone shares, resist fixing anything. Just say, I'm sorry, or what do you need from me right now? Most people don't know how to ask good questions or genuinely share their hearts. Be different. Be intentional. You never need anything. You never need me. I want you to need me more. Those words from a close friend stung, especially since another friendship had ended 18 months earlier for the same reason. The painful truth, appearing gregarious while keeping everyone at arm's length, is hiding. Loving to go deep about others while hedging when conversations turn inward isn't generosity, it's self-protection. Walls get built for good reasons, but shame is the enemy's favorite weapon because its cost is connection. Like Adam and Eve who hid after sin, we cover ourselves and retreat. The gospel rescues us from hiding. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, vulnerable people get hurt, but as C.S. Lewis wrote, the only way to avoid hurt is to lock your heart away carefully, and then it becomes unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. Jenny, it seems like you have a hard heart right now. Those words from a friend during a casual gathering stunned and annoyed. The mental resistance was immediate. I'm fine, just tired, not in the mood. But admitting they were probably right about closing off emotionally changed everything. They prayed. That night brought the best sleep in days. What makes us squirm about accountability? At its core, it calls us to who we were meant to be through truth mixed with grace. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Like kitchen knives that become dull without regular sharpening, we too become ineffective without the friction of accountability. Don't take criticism from just anyone. Choose voices you'll listen to carefully. Our culture prioritizes acceptance above all else, but if you're about to careen off a cliff, you don't need acceptance. You need help. We need people who aren't carbon copies of ourselves, people of different ethnicities, backgrounds, and perspectives who challenge our presuppositions. When we surround ourselves with diversity, our compassion increases, our racism gets called out, and our materialism gets challenged. What makes friendships work? Saying hard things and listening to hard things. This is the language of village life. Throughout history, tight-knit communities united around shared purposes. Early agricultural societies worked, ate, and raised children together. Then the Industrial Revolution separated work from community, leading to urban sprawl, long commutes, and suburban isolation. Now we're exhausted living fragmented lives, work disconnected from home, disconnected from social and spiritual realities. What if you could pull people into the missions you're already accomplishing? C.S. Lewis said, "Friendship must be about something, even if it were only an enthusiasm for dominoes or white mice." God gave Adam and Eve a shared mission. Jesus told disciples to make more disciples, and Paul described the church as one body. We crave connection through shared purpose because we were built for it. As a Middle Eastern pastor explained, true discipleship doesn't happen out there. It happens in a home. It's not something you do once a week. It's what you do every day because that's when you get to know people. If you want good friends, run a race together, build a house together, cook a meal together, all while working for the greatest mission, giving God away. In a world of easy exits, staying is the most radical act of love. When a sister-in-law called about hurtful words, fear surged. Was this friendship ending? But she said, "I am staying. This is me fighting for us." Those words changed everything. Conflict isn't friendship's enemy. It's its growth catalyst. The Bible's commands to encourage one another, bear one another's burdens, comfort one another, confess your sins, and forgive one another all require proximity, being close enough to hurt and heal. Throughout history, breaking bread has symbolized reconciliation. In an ancestral Italian village, a table seating 25 hosted 6 courses, laughter and fighting. The response? No worries. This is how it goes. Conflict feels safe when you know no one's quitting. Research shows deep friendship requires time. 50 hours to move from acquaintance to casual friend, 90 hours to become a friend, and over 200 hours for best friend status. Deep connection requires consistently choosing each other. Deep connection requires intentional effort. Over 1 in 3 women report feeling lonely. To build meaningful friendships, we must take initiative. Be the friend you want others to be. Stop waiting for people to reach out. Assume people want connection and are willing to help. The battle is worth it because we were built for community. Every intentional conversation, every vulnerable moment, every choice to stay through conflict builds the foundation our souls need. This isn't just about having friends. It's about reclaiming how humans were designed to live, interconnected, interdependent, and deeply known.